From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, about the agricultural marketplace. And then later in the program, Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us. He's in Bloomington and will help us discuss the agricultural energy market. Along the way, we'll hear from Dave Dickey. He'll have an update of all the agricultural news for the day. And Don Day from Cheyenne, Wyoming, will be here with an update of the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $4.92, down 3/4 for the day. The May at 504.5, unchanged. July 516.75, unchanged. July wheat in Kansas City, a $5.19.25 settlement price, down 1¢ and 3/4. March corn futures, 370.5, down 1/4. The May at 381.5, down 1/4. July at 392.25, down 1/4, and September corn futures at $4 even, 0.25 cents higher on the day. December futures at 407, up 0.5 for the afternoon. March soybean futures, 1¢ and 3/4 higher at 954.25, the May at 963.5, up 1 cent. July 970.75, up 1/4, the August at 965.75, down 0.5 cents. And the September futures there at $9.51, finished 1¢ and 1/2 lower. The March soybean meal now, $2.70.50, down 50 cents. May contract at $2.68.30, down a dime for the day. The March bean oil at $39.81, finished 31 higher. The May at $40.20, up 30 cents. Feeder cattle from the CME Light Group's livestock site, March contract 102.37.5, up 27.5. April's at 104.42.5, up 77.5. April lean hogs today, 72.45, finished 50 cents lower. The May at 77.65, down 82 on the afternoon. And the live cattle futures, April contract 92.77.5, up $1.05. June futures at 91.25, finished the day 65 cents higher. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $76, or rather $79.68 a barrel, up 98 cents. May futures at $80.06, up 98 as well. March ethanol at $1.68, that's down 1¢ and 2/10. The natural gas at $4.71 and 6 cents on the lead option, up 3 and 7 cents. And the RBOB, 4 and 5 tenths of a cent higher at $2.20 and 1/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.05, up 3 and 1/10 of a cent, and the gold futures at $1,136.90 an ounce on their settlement for the day, up $19.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, now at 10,411, is just about 7 points higher, and the U.S. dollar at 80.52 is down 0.13 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 275.13 is up 2.42. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as prepared by our own Mike Sola. He says tonight should be partly to mostly cloudy, and the lows will range from 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 30 in the far south. Tomorrow in eastern Indiana and in the far south, considerable cloudiness. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 36 in the north to 43 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says sunshine will prevail in northern and west central Illinois and northern and western sections of the two-state area tomorrow, with clouds hanging on further south and into the east. A gradual moderation in temperatures is expected headed into the weekend. Temperatures will reach average levels Friday into the weekend and may actually go a bit above average early next week. Mostly dry weather expected through the coming weekend. Wet weather will return early next week, followed by a return to cooler weather. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
We are now only 1 week away from our great big all-day agricultural outlook meeting scheduled for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Pre-registration is now closed. There were 354, Wayne, pre-registered for that event. And we hope to have a few more than that, but I'm going to suggest that they arrive early, and that early means 7 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, to join in on all the fun all day long. And we have a great lineup, and it includes you on one of those panels too, Wayne.
Going to be fortunate enough to be there 20 years in a row, Todd. I think this is our 20th year one, and we've been there at every one till now. So it's a real thrill to do anything for 20 years and be able to make it all 20 years. You know, as we get older, we realize what anything the longevity is. So that's great.
Well, congratulations. And you are correct. It is our 20th annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook. The very first one was in 1991.
So. Yeah, and, you know, it was a great brainchild of Charles Lindy, and we have to look back and with great esteem and say what he started and now what it's been built into.
Now, the brainchild of Charlie, but I have to admit, I was here during those years, and not only Charlie, but you and Paul Cooley and Daryl Good and Paul Bates and Dan Zwicker and a few others had a hand in putting together these programs. And, well, thank you very much for all your years of service. We do really appreciate it.
Well, we've had a lot of fun.
All right, so let's get down to business. What happened in the marketplace? Didn't look like a whole lot today.
Well, you know, it depends on which moment you looked at the screen, Todd. We had some enthusiasm generated out of the crude oil that brought stuff back. And come on, we had the announcement that the Senate's going to try to throw the biodiesel credit back in their jobs bill. And that induced quite a bit of enthusiasm over in the bean oil market. And then we got the word that some of the yields in Iowa are coming in 200 to 250 bushels on this corn that's being combined now, and that took a little air out of the corn market going into the close. So it depended on which part of the day and what the outside markets were doing is how the reactions were through the day, but it all ended up just pretty benign, didn't it?
Yeah, it did indeed. I guess that is better than the way the day started.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was quite a attack on things there to start with, and then we bounced back and saw the little rally, and then sort of faded into the close. It seems like, you know, we're going to have to say we're in a trading range here, and we did get a chance to sell a few more beans at the 945 level there in the Novembers, and we were able to, you know, purchase some of our corn that some of the people wanted to get long down around the 401.5 range in the December. So, you know, it did give us some opportunities, but all in all, it's a range-bound market right now, Todd.
And now, I suspect you've been working with your clientele on crop insurance. You do sell crop insurance.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what kind of questions they have about this year as compared to previous years.
Well, I think, you know, they're all looking at what the differential costs are between the group policies, the GRIP and the GRP, and also then is looking at the revenue policies and which one's going to work better on their ground and whatever. And with each individual producer, we want to look and see how their yields are compared to the county yields. And basically, in most cases, their yields are better than the county averages, why the CRC policy has been better because it throws in the revenue and insures your own farm.
All right, and those who are interested always can give you a call at Newmarket, Indiana at L&M Commodities, or they can visit, of course, our website for the Farm Doc folks and use the calculators there and get a good idea before they go and visit their crop insurance agent.
That ends up on March 15th that they need to have their first have their application submitted. So it's something they can't take a lot of time doing.
They can't take a lot of time doing, so they need to get it done. What else do we need to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think, you know, that one of the big major things that we've been hearing a lot about is that there's going to be flooding this spring and going on. And as we look back over some of the weather syndrome things of how it's been over the past in history, the years that we have seen some flooding have actually ended up with some quite good yields overall for the Midwest. So it might be very cumbersome at first and bothersome to those along the rivers, but all in all, generally a wet spring or plenty of moisture and lots of snow generally add to a pretty good yield by the time the year's over, Todd.
Anyway, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Todd.
Thanks so much, Wayne. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to know more about our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find the full daily lineup and the cost as well. It is $20, and for that $20 bill, we'll serve you lunch at noon from the Beef House and a bit of breakfast in the morning, a continental breakfast of sorts. But you'll need to come early if you have not pre-registered, 7 a.m. Central Time. The doors will open. That's 8 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. The Beef House is located just off of Exit 4 on the Indiana side of the Illinois-Indiana border on Interstate 74.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA will conduct a Conservation Reserve Program general enrollment sign-up this spring for the first time since 2006. The enrollment would replace as many as 4.4 million acres in contracts expected to expire in September of this year. The 2008 Farm Bill lowered CRP acreage from 36.7 million to a cap of 32 million acres. Right now, the program covers about 31.4 million acres. USDA is investigating whether some states, notably California, Texas, and Arizona, as well as New York City, are discouraging people from applying for food stamp benefits through finger ID checks and other measures. Agriculture Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services, Kevin Cookhannon, says, quote, "We may have the authority to stop finger imaging if we do have it. I want to make sure it is a sustainable decision." Members of Congress and some officials in the affected states and New York City have urged Cookhannon to stop the practice. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk is scheduled to testify tomorrow before the Senate Finance Committee about President Barack Obama's 2010 trade agenda. Some lawmakers will focus on what the USTR document has to say about pending free trade agreements with Panama, Colombia, and South Korea, and also on whether Kirk will have any new information about the timing and content of those agreements. Others will press Kirk to remain steadfast against the export of U.S. jobs and the import of foreign goods that are alleged to be unfairly traded. Mississippi Representative Gene Taylor says he plans to introduce legislation that would require the U.S. to withdraw from the North American Free Trade Agreement that it signed with Mexico and Canada in 1993. Taylor is circulating a letter to his colleagues that includes a graph showing a 29% decline in U.S. manufacturing employment since 1993. In the letter, Taylor claims that NAFTA discourages investment in U.S. manufacturing facilities and accelerates the erosion of the U.S. industrial base. Environmentalists have filed a federal lawsuit against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, accusing it of illegally allowing farmers to grow genetically modified crops in a national wildlife refuge. The groups want the court to force the Fish and Wildlife Service to remove GMO crops from the National Wildlife Refuge at Bombay Hook in Delaware, alleging the crops are a result of illegal cooperative farming agreements. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're just a week away now from our Tuesday, March the 9th, All-Day Ag Outlook meeting scheduled for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Thanks to all of you who pre-registered for that program. More than 350 folks are already signed up, and it means that if you want to come to that program but have not pre-registered, you should arrive early rather than late. We can't guarantee that everybody will get in the door now. But if you arrive around 7 a.m. Eastern time, we'll try to make sure that you and the rest of the folks all make it inside at the Beef House for All-Day Ag event, including that great midday panel when we'll talk with experts like Sue Martin, Chip Flory, Steve Fried, Glenn Ring, and John Bondurant, all part of our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Now, up next, you know farmers have until the middle of this month to make their federal crop insurance decisions. And some of those that signed up for the ACRE program are wondering if that might make their crop insurance decisions different. The answer is probably no. I'll have more advice from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Farmers that signed up for the ACRE program last year aren't quite sure what it means to this year's crop insurance decision. Those decisions, of course, must be made by the middle of March. The Ag Economist at the University of Illinois and most other land grants recommended farmers sign up for ACRE. There's some disagreement, though, on whether or not that decision should impact the crop insurance decisions, says Illinois' Gary Schnitke.
Some people say that you should consider ACRE and sure. And when you're making your crop insurance decisions, I don't make that much of a linkage because we don't know if ACRE is going to pay for the 2009 year yet. So, you know, there's that distance. And even when we do the analysis, it's a marginal impact of whether ACRE or sure should impact your crop insurance decisions. The one thing that you can say about both the ACRE and the SURE decision is that the higher the coverage level you select for your crop insurance decision, the more likely you'll be to receive an ACRE payment and the larger your SURE payment if it happens. But those are very, very marginal sorts of things. I personally wouldn't put those into the decision process.
Speaking of which, Schnitke and the Farm Doc team at Illinois have a whole series of calculators and webinars and informational material on the Farm Doc website to help producers make crop insurance decisions. The calculators are good in all 12 states in the Midwest and for all the counties in those states. The Farm Doc address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On this Tuesday afternoon, time to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney with GrowMark is with us. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
There's all kinds of interesting things happening in the marketplace. Let's take up first what the seasonal looks like and then follow that maybe with the charts.
Well, yes, there's a strong seasonal pattern from now out into late spring, from about mid to late February through the months of March and April, for the market to go on higher in diesel fuel and gasoline. And so we like to be contracted before this seasonal run-up in price normally occurs. We recommend that end users be 25 to 50% covered on their spring and early summer needs, and we want to have that done ahead of this normal seasonal run-up. The prices have increased a little bit just recently here, but overall they haven't increased to any great extent just yet. History suggests that normal seasonal run-up occurs about 80 or 90% of the time. So like 8 out of 10 years, there will be a price increase from now out into springtime. So if I was an end user myself, I would want to have half of my needs covered. And the other thing we want to recommend is that people have their inventories filled up. In many cases here, the nearby price off the truck is some of the cheapest that they can get. So we want to first fill up our inventories and then have 25 to 50% of their needs contracted for down the road also.
So you're talking about having your inventory on farm storage filled.
Yes.
Plus another 50%, up to another 50% after that?
That's right. That's right, because these 2 months coming up are some of the strongest 2 month periods of time throughout the entire 12 months of the year. So this is a time of any time of the year that you would sort of load up, as you would say. This would be the time to do it. Again, though, we're only talking about 50%, so we still have 50% that's not covered, though, too. But in addition, we want the inventory filled, too.
Right. So why is it that this 2 months is so strong? What happens?
Well, we start seeing the demand coming around from some commercial users, and some seasonal studies just suggest that this has happened more often than not. The seasonal studies tend to work for various reasons. We follow them, though, for whatever reason in the background they work. We follow these, and not every year they work. I mean, you know, 8 out of 10 years they do. There's that 2 out of 10 years that they don't work, but the majority of the time they do.
Do they become a self-fulfilling prophecy?
They kind of do, and that's why I didn't really have a big answer for why they do it as much as they just do it so we follow them, you know.
Yeah, does that mean the large funds usually look at it and say, well, seasonally, my bet here is 8 out of 10 years, and I may as well go with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, this year it's interesting. We're hearing from our FS member companies that a number of end users are not deciding to lock much in this year. They just are taking more of a wait-and-see attitude on it. I would not be doing that. I would still be getting things locked in. But because of various reasons, maybe the economy they think is not coming around enough or something, they're just opting not to lock much fuel in. Usually if you do opposite of what people are doing or not doing, it's usually the thing to do. So if people are not locking much in this year, we probably should be doing even more. Because, like I say, it's kind of like a contrary opinion theory.
Yeah, that would be for the end users. What about the large funds?
The large funds are net long the market. They've already bought in. They're long the crude oil market. They're long gasoline, in a big extent gasoline, and they're also long the diesel fuel market. The only market of the energy complex that the large funds, the big money people, are not net long is the natural gas market. In fact, they're heavily short the natural gas market, as they have been for about the last year or two.
Might that be good for nitrogen prices in the future, you think?
It could have an impact, definitely.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here once a month on a Tuesday to talk about the agricultural energy markets. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus, the University of Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The University of Illinois' Lincoln Hall should be surrounded by fences by the end of the month as crews prepare to renovate the dilapidated classroom facility. The state today announced it's awarding a $39 million bid to Peoria's Williams Brothers Construction. The $66 million overall project is being paid for through the state's capital bill. Joe Vitoski of the U of I's Office of Capital Programs and Real Estate Services says the money is in hand to complete the long-delayed project, which will reconfigure the Urbana Quad mainstay for classrooms on the first two floors and offices on the top two floors. The new Lincoln Hall is scheduled to be ready for move-in during the summer of 2012. The U of I's interim president now says tuition may be raised as much as 20% for next fall's incoming students. Stanley Eikenberry initially thought the increase would be around 9%. The state owes the U of I $487 million, and he says the double-digit figure might be needed to make up for missing state aid. The university is among agencies, school districts, and other organizations around the state that aren't getting paid. Eikenberry says the U of I is also considering borrowing money. Meanwhile, state finances are getting no better in Indiana. Tax collections for last month fell $86 million below a revised December forecast. Revenue is down $166 million in the first 3 months since that forecast. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels has imposed hundreds of millions of dollars in budget cuts already, but the state will exhaust what was a $1.3 billion surplus by the time the current budget cycle ends in June 2011 if revenue trends continue. Some East Central Illinois counties will be seeking out census enumerators to work in rural areas this spring. Planner Andrew Levy with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission says counties like Piatt and DeWitt will need about 1,500 workers. Meanwhile, Levy says he expects Champaign County's population in the 2010 census to remain at just over 190,000, even with expansion in areas like Savoy, compared with those losing their homes amid the poor economy. Surveys will be mailed to homes later this month, and enumerators will follow up with those who don't return it. Those seeking out jobs as census takers should go online to 2010censusjobs.com. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather. Don Day is with us from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hey, weather's warming up just a bit, and that seems, well, pretty nice. I guess it's about that time of year.
It really is. You really notice that the average high and low temperatures this time of year really start to nudge upwards. But as it gets a little bit warmer, you still notice there's still a lot of cold air up north, too. And so you tend to have some wild and woolly weather at times as you get into March, April, and May. And we're certainly expecting that. But at least here over the course of the next few days, a pretty enjoyable weather pattern. Not a lot going on. The stormy weather is going to be along the coast, East Coast and West Coast, and then eventually the Great Basin and Rockies will see some stormy weather, but we'll be able to avoid that for at least a few days here.
Okay, so tell me just a bit about weed country and whether we'll be coming out of dormancy, you think, very soon for soft red. That would be east of the Mississippi River, and then to the west of the Mississippi River, a bit of soft red, but out into the Great Plains and hard red winter areas, too.
You start out in the western areas. February was actually below normal temperature-wise in many areas, so we're looking at conditions to get things out of dormancy, probably going to be a little bit delayed. And although it is warming up a little bit, it's going to be a pattern, I think, that will be slow to get things out of dormancy. Basically, I'd say east of the Mississippi, a similar situation as well.
And then turn your attention to South America and tell me about harvest progress for Argentina and Brazil.
Well, in Brazil, it's been a little bit more wet, last week especially, but now Brazil showing a trend that's going to be a little bit drier. So that'll be good news for there. Now, things have reversed, though. While it was wetter and more active in Brazil, it's a little bit more wet in Argentina. And so there may be some delays in Argentina due to some rain and some active weather down there.
And finally, I want to come back home to roost here in the Midwest. In the past 2 years, as we've entered this time frame, we've been at a point where the winter storms have been fairly regular and dropped quite a bit of precipitation on us. And we called that persistence, and it laid on us all the way through the beginning of the spring. It doesn't appear that that persistence, or at least feel to me that that persistence is in the offing at this point and has been here this spring or this winter and into the early spring as it has the last 2 years. Am I seeing something that's not there, or is that correct?
Well, I think we are in a little bit of a pause right now, but I think that's all it's going to be. All indications suggest that we're going to have a very active March and April, which means there'll be several strong storm systems moving coast to coast and opportunities to have some colder, wetter systems move on in. Whether or not it's going to be persistent to the point where we're going to have a storm a week, don't see that yet, but I do think we're sort of getting ourselves in a nice pattern here, a nice little lull, but don't expect it to last.
Don, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Next week, we'll have to think about whether Don will be along with us because, of course, it'll be an all-day Ag Outlook program, and we'll pre-record this program for you. If you do get the opportunity to come over to the all-day Ag Outlook, please do so. We've already pre-registered more than 350 folks, so if you're going to come, come early. Starts at 7 a.m. for registration. That's Central Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Time at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media.